And we're back. I'm Michael Cohen, 1320 WILS. Thanks for joining us. We're all now waiting to see how the U.S. Supreme Court rules on the Affordable Care Act tomorrow, although insurance companies have already been feverishly working on changing their marketing strategies, directing them to individuals rather than companies, as they anticipate how healthcare exchanges will soon change their business. New York Times reporter Tanzina Vega writes about it in her recent article, which you can find online, headlined, "Insurers Seek to Soften Their Image No Matter How Court Rules on Healthcare." Tanzina, thanks for joining us on WILS this evening.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me, just how much of a shift is there for the image makers to now pursue for insurance companies? What kind of advertising style have they had when it comes to marketing to other corporations?
This is actually a major shift. Some of these companies have never done what's called direct-to-consumer advertising or business-to-consumer advertising. Cigna, for example, is one of those companies that's done either minimal or no advertising directly to consumers, unlike companies that we see on TV commercials all the time. Health insurance companies generally didn't have to do that because they could go directly to your human resources manager and have a conversation with that person, and that would be it would be decided at that point what insurance options would be made available to employees. So there really wasn't a need to do traditional advertising, and that could include everything from billboards to TV commercials to digital advertising, online advertising, you name it. And so now you're seeing an onslaught of this type of advertising directed at you and me and everyone else in the country.
I see. Well, for advertising firms, this is probably going to be a huge amount of money coming in from these insurers. Is it clear how much money they're spending now and will be spending on these advertisements?
Well, on an individual, like a case-by-case, that's one thing a lot of companies don't want to talk about is how much they are spending. But it's absolutely, we're able to get data from Kantar Media, which is a research unit of one of the biggest, or if not the biggest, advertising conglomerate in the world, WPP. And they said that spending on medical and dental insurance advertising increased from $667.7 million in 2010, which is already a lot of money, to $789.3 million last year in 2011. So we are seeing enormous increases, and that's just traditional advertising. That doesn't include, you know, all sorts of what's known as earned media, so things that you might blog posts and, you know, social media efforts and the like.
Now, you note that they're going to pursue this new consumer-friendly approach when it comes to their advertising. Do we have any sense already of what kind of campaigns they're pursuing?
Absolutely. Actually, there's a number of them that, depending on where you live and where you are and which your media consumption habits are, you're probably already seeing. Some of them are a lot more subtle than others, but a couple that really stood out to me, I mentioned Cigna earlier. Their campaign is called Go You. And again, just a big picture here. A lot of all these campaigns are really focused on two things, the individual consumer and presenting and repositioning the companies as opposed from health insurance companies to health care companies. So those are the big sort of overriding themes for any and all of these campaigns. So with Cigna, for example, the focus is on the individual. They have a bunch of campaigns that are very bold and bright campaigns. They do traditional TV commercials, but they also have advertising that sort of says, you know, things like why would you want to be like someone else? It's exhausting just trying to be yourself. Go you. You know, so that's one of the examples. Another one is Humana, which has a bunch of TV spots that they've been rolling out over the course of the past year or so, which show families gathering at, say, a vacation home, and the grandparents are there, and the grandchildren, and they're having a barbecue, and there's a bonfire, and they're making s'mores, and it's this sort of very personal, familial take on something that you wouldn't necessarily associate with a health insurance company.
I'm talking to New York Times reporter Tanzina Vega about her very recent article about how the insurance company and the insurance industry is now working very hard to change its image. Now, Tanzina, the problem is that they actually have a very bad image, don't they, when it comes to the way the public views the industry as a whole and the way individuals have been treated by the companies when they're looking to deal with their medical problems?
Overwhelmingly so. One of the things I mentioned in the piece is that they're an industry that's actually known more for causing headaches than for curing them. And all of the experts we spoke to across the board unanimously agree, whether they're an advertising expert or health insurance expert or even health insurers, insurance companies recognize that their reputation is abysmal in the United States, and they're known more for saying no than they are for saying yes. And like I said, curing, causing headaches sometimes through paperwork and billing and having to go through sort of a maze and navigating the system than they are for being providing you with health care options. So it's a big step for them to take, and it's actually necessary, I think, going forward, regardless of how the Supreme Court rules.
Now, you noted that the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association recently updated its daily deals website. But the question is there going to be a major push now online? Should we expect some new Facebook friendships from these companies? And how much of a role is the online advertising effort going to play? Is it going to be almost half the effort there?
That's a great point, and it's actually something that I've got on tap for exploring a little bit more about it. What you can do online today is amazing. The ability to precisely, so there's two types of, there's two ways to look at this question. One is through the digital products that a lot of these companies are creating, right? So the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association has a daily deal site. You can go there. They'll push out deals on Twitter, on Facebook, and through the site itself. And for members, they can get, you know, $500 off a LASIK surgery treatment, for example, or a discount on your healthcare membership. There are other, I think it was Aetna that had a digital comparison tool that allows you to compare out-of-pocket expenses. You know, a lot of these companies are really pushing forward with digital tools and offerings for their members. Where you're going to see lots of innovation and also, you know, potentially an increase in the collection of data, and of course this is all within HIPAA regulations. So healthcare companies and health insurance companies do have to abide by different rules and regulations as it relates to data collection than, say, regular traditional advertisers. But you are going to start to see more targeted advertising. A lot of these companies were already advertising online.
The experts you talked to, did they feel that this need to market now to individuals will lead to better service and responses for those same individuals?
Well, I guess that's the million-dollar question, right, for all marketers. One of the things that is interesting is that when you're dealing with someone who with a company that is marketing, say, or doesn't have to market directly to consumers, right? The lines of communication aren't as open. So you're dealing with health insurance that you've gotten through your employer. You might have to make a phone call to their customer service line, and you might complain that way. The difference now is that we have social media, and there's a lot more accountability. So the more that these companies move into digital, specifically, we're talking about Twitter, we're talking about Facebook, companies in general, not just health insurance companies, but companies across the board find it difficult, more difficult to hide, essentially, from their consumers. So they're going to have to. There was one person I talked to who said, you know, as consumers, as people become consumers, more active consumers in the individual space or in the retail space, you have a lot more power, and people can actually hear when you're complaining. And a lot of companies use Twitter and use Facebook as a way to sort of manage their customer service interactions with consumers. So it may no longer be I'm making an angry phone call to my, you know, insurance company. It's now I'm going to go on Twitter and say this and this and this and this and this. And so I think we're going to start to see that. Whether that's ultimately going to lower prices, we'll see.
I see. Now, this effort is due to the healthcare exchanges. They're going to basically be presenting themselves in these healthcare exchanges. There be a fair amount of advertising right there on these consolidated websites then?
That's a good question, and I think healthcare exchanges are one part of what the proposal or what's already on the table that a lot of people aren't as aware of. And basically, that is an opportunity for them to advertise. Whether they're going to advertise on these sites, I think, remains to be seen. It would make sense. I would imagine that if I was part of a healthcare exchange and I had me being an insurance company, and I had the opportunity to advertise, that would be a logical place for me to put my message online so that when someone is comparing the different options that they have, they'll see my message at the top of the page.
It'll be interesting to see how they try to differentiate themselves. If they all go for this warm, fuzzy family approach, it might be hard to tell the difference between one insurance company and the other.
Absolutely, and I think that's where the exchanges will be interesting, because I think a lot of people are also going to make a decision based on price. And when you can start to compare and contrast not only the services that are available to you, but ultimately the price and the value of what you're getting, those ultimately may be what people depend on more than marketing messages. But I think right now we're at a point where a lot of people haven't been marketed to by these insurance companies. So we'll see how that changes. We'll see if the message still resonates, say, a year from now or 2 years from now. Because a lot of these companies say, you know what, we're not pulling back. We started this effort early on. We're going to continue to do this regardless of what the court rules.
Well, it's certainly likely to be a whole new world starting tomorrow, and health insurance companies are well prepared for it. New York Times reporter Tanzina Vega, thank you so much for joining us on WILS this evening.
Thank you, and thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
And we're coming right back. I'm Michael Cohen. You're listening to 1320 WILS.